Good day to you. Welcome to another edition of The Front Page on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Chuck Moraz, joined today by Rowan County Judge Executive Dr. Walter Blevins. Judge Blevins, welcome to the show as always.
Glad to be here.
Well, we talked about it earlier when we talked about all the snow and all the cold that we've had and the roads that we've had to deal with because of the snow. Your guys, your road crew, they're ready.
They're ready, and
they're doing a good job.
We never have enough because we've got, I think, about 700 miles of road, and we've got not enough trucks and not enough people. But it takes money to hire more and to buy more. So, right now our budget's pretty tight, and with the upcoming jail facility, it's hard to put money anywhere. Of course, we lost about $300,000 out of the. Our potential money from the state for our roads, and that puts us in a bind. We luckily had some reserve money carry forward that we were able to put into the road fund to at least try to get a lot of blacktop done this summer.
How are we doing with road salt supply?
We're doing well. I think we used 92 tons the last small snow we had, but you want to use it. If it was a big snow, you never know how many of those you're going to have, but it looks like we got two more coming.
How much, in terms of when you talk about the number of tons of road salt, how many did you have in the barn?
I think we had about 600 tons in the barn, and then we've got another 150 tons we just ordered after the first snow. So it'll be here, hopefully, and we have room to put the rest of it in there.
For the guys from the road crew, when you get weather like this, when it's snowing and icing like this, it's a pretty long day, isn't it?
It's a long day for those guys, and dangerous day. We've got a lot of dangerous little narrow highways and up and down hills, and you can't thank them enough for the job they do.
All right, let's talk about some of the business in regards to the county and what's going on here. First of all, let's start with the jail, because we talk about that quite a bit, and I know that the demolition work out at the site where the jail will be built continues. It looks like they've made pretty good progress.
They've made some real good progress. They think they'll be finished by hopefully the 1st of March, and that'll be good. I hope they are as well. And we're talking about maybe trying to go to bid 1st of March, maybe get some bids in end of March.
Yeah, the site itself, how big is that site again?
I think it's about 7 acres, I think. There's some of it that's in floodplain or floodway, but the building itself will not be in any of the floodway or floodplain.
We've discussed here earlier how the weather is now impacting the county, but I'm sure that when you talk about a project like this and tearing down that old tobacco barn building that's on the jail site, with the weather generally being good over the last several weeks, that's probably helped a lot.
That's helped a lot. Anytime you're doing any kind of demolition or construction, either one, the weather plays a big part in that.
All right. Talking about the jail itself, I know that you're looking at perhaps redesigning parts of it to kind of trim costs off of that. How's that coming?
Well, we're probably going to bid it for around 252 beds, with the idea that if bids come in lower, we can add an additional 40 beds. It was designed initially for 292 beds. I believe that's what it is, 294, somewhere in that range. But we're concerned about having the money to bond, and actually had some discussion of what we're going to try to do with that. The issue of raising revenue, some kind of tax to help us pay for that and keep the. We don't want to use all our debt capacity on this one project, because we've got ambulances that need to be either refurbished or new ones. You never know when you can have a terrible storm or a flood that might cost us some money that we may need some bonding authority for. So we're looking at maybe some alternative measures. Again, I think the likely one will be the payroll tax, because it raises the most, and it probably is less harmful to the people that are taxpayers.
What type of increase are you seeking, possibly?
We're probably looking at 0.5%. I think we're allowed to go up to 1.5%, and that would match what the city is doing. We're talking. Several members are talking positive that we're going to have to do something, and that's probably the best way to do it. Again, we'd like to put some of that money back into our road fund, get our road fund back up to at least where it was prior to the cuts.
Yeah, I know that you had discussed the payroll tax, I think, back in the summer initially.
Talked about it initially, and of course, if the public's upset about trying to raise money for, at least for the sports facilities out there at Sunnybrook, I didn't get any real negative response from anybody about even discussing it. So I think hopefully people understand this deal is an important part of our economy. It's going to be an important part of making us continue to be a regional center and attracting other counties to Round County for their services. So it's you don't want to do those things, but sometimes you're forced to do it.
Do you have an idea in terms of potential annual revenue that this 0.5% increase in the payroll tax could create?
It'll create around $1.7 million. You're taking going from 1% to 1.5%. I think the 1% brings about $3.3 million, and this will bring about $1.7 million additional. The one thing we're looking at, though, is that we may have two excellent years of payroll tax, you know, barring something terrible happens to some of our economy. But with all the construction up here on the campus, with the construction of the community and technical college out at Industrial Park, the hospital is doing a $25 million project, so there's $100 million at the university, $28 at the Community and Technical College, $25 at the hospital, and then we're looking at around $20 million project ourselves. So the payroll tax will increase. We think that'll help us maybe pay some of this debt down and maybe not have to borrow as much.
I know that you have years that are a little leaner than others, and some are a little bit more flush than others. At the same time, when you talk about maybe a couple of good years coming up, do you have to look at that from a conservative standpoint at the same time and say, you know, we need to keep some in our rainy day fund?
Well, we'd like to have a rainy day fund, but things are so tough right now with all the cuts we're seeing in Frankfort, and we're maybe looking at even more cuts. So we're concerned. I'm going actually leaving this afternoon for Better Transportation, I think it's Kentuckians for Better Transportation. They're having a meeting in Lexington. The governor's going to be there, I think, Thursday at luncheon and speak. And plus Rocky will be there, Greg Stumbo, and I think Robert Stivers. Most of the leadership will be there to give their thoughts on what's going to happen to our transportation funds.
Where do you think you might take further cuts?
The discretionary dollars have really helped us. We got about $250 million I wish it was $250,000 from the discretionary funds through the governor's office. Of course, that we had planned on doing about $300,000, so we took $50,000 out of our general fund and made that a little over $300,000 for blacktop that we were able to put on our roads. That's discretionary funds are discretionary. You never know how much funds are going to be there, and you don't know how the governor will decide to spend those. This county didn't go for the governor. We may get a little less discretionary dollars. There may not be any discretionary dollars. And also the flex dollars that we've received, that's about $200,000. And we may see cuts on that because that is not a statutory program. That's the governor, Beshear, basically instigated that plan. I'm not sure current governor Bevin will do that or not.
Are these kind of general fund revenues, or these things that come from the transportation cabinet, and do they have certain places that they need to be earmarked for?
Discretionary dollars are basically at the end of the year that if there's extra money, the governor usually will divide those up among counties and give them extra money to go out here and keep the county roads up to par. The flex dollars are basically if our secondary roads are in good shape, they look at each one of those in the county and they determine whether they need servicing or not. If they don't need servicing, then they allow us to use those dollars to surface the county roads. Again, those both are up to the next governor. They weren't put in by statute. They were actually ideas from the governor and his transportation secretary. I'm hoping that the new secretary and the governor will continue those programs.
Getting back to the payroll tax, it sounds like that maybe there is now some sentiment among members of the fiscal court to pass those. Is that right?
I believe there's some people at least realize we've got to do something, and I think they're looking at that. There's some question whether we ought to maybe look at some other tax source. The property tax doesn't bring in that much money because we only get about 20% of the property tax. It doesn't really bring a lot of money, a couple hundred thousand if you raised it a few percentage. If the big money maker, and right now is actually taking care of most of our problems, is the the payroll tax. And the payroll tax is a good thing for us because the citizens of the county, they pay about half of that. And the people that don't live in this community but work in this community, they wind up paying the tax to us. So the people that live in this community should be happy to kind of double whatever we increase the revenue.
How much does the payroll tax now bring in on a yearly basis?
About $3.3 million.
Okay. Getting back to the jail itself, the last time we talked, you'd said that the estimate for the actual cost of building the jail had gone from the initial estimate, I think, of $15 million to about $18 million. Even with the cutback to 252 beds, is it still $18
million? Yeah, it's still about $18 million. And if the problem is that if you don't go ahead and go with the – and if we have the money, we'll go ahead and try to bid it for the close to 300 beds because – it will pay it off much faster, and will actually you're not going to save much by cutting those 40 bids. You're actually going to cost yourself a lot of money in the long run.
So it's kind of a catch-22 situation.
It is a catch-22. We need to go ahead and build it big enough so that we can actually make some revenue off of it and help us keep a handle on what our revenues are going to be.
With an increased payroll tax, I know that you'd advocated for this before, as we noted, and we've talked about this maybe being also a solution for building new facilities for recreation here in the county. I know the jail is the first priority in all of this, but at the same time, do you think eventually if the tax is passed and you got the jail funding under control, then maybe we can have some money for recreation?
That's my hope, and you know, if we can get that jail up to 300 beds and keep it full, then I think we'll have some money left over that we can hopefully put into recreation facilities. Again, we're looking at I'm hoping that they pass the lift proposal down there. That's to give communities like Moorhead and across the state, but you'd have to put it to a vote. It would allow us to basically add a penny sales tax for a project if the people in this community want to do that. That's another option we don't have right now. It's an option that I'd like to see.
I talked to Moorhead Mayor Jim Tom Trenda about that issue when you talk about the lift tax. And he said that it appears that – I know the issue died last year and really didn't even get discussed that much in the 2015 General Assembly session, but he believes that now the support for the lift tax is growing.
I believe it is, too. I mean, it's passed the House, and it's just a matter of getting the Senate to go along with it. I understand there's not going to be much money out of Frankfort, not much money out of Washington, it doesn't look like. And so this is what gives the opportunity of communities, local communities, an opportunity to take their future in their own hands. And that's basically putting a up to a penny sales tax on everything that's sold pretty much that has sales tax today. That would be, again, those taxes would go off. And that's the same thing we'd want to do in our discussion of the payroll tax as well. That we'd like to be able to take that tax off after the jail is paid off.
We want to also point out, and I've done this before for people who are unaware, that the lift tax is based on voter referendum.
Definitely. First of all, it's got to have a constitutional amendment. It will have to be passed. So that's going to take us to the end of November, beginning of November of this year, if you can even get it on the ballot. Then we'd have to look at it as an individual community and decide whether what we wanted to do with that, if we wanted to raise another penny. It's again for a community like Round County, because we're a hub. We've got the Walmart, we've got the hospital, we've got the university here. A lot of people come here to eat and recreate, and so we would get a lot of that sales tax would be from people outside of this community.
Again, our guest today on Front Page is Round County Judge Executive Walter Blevins. We'll go ahead and take a break. We'll come back with more right after this.
There are many ways to connect with Moorhead State Public Radio. Log on to WMKY.org for enhanced regional news, on-demand audio and video, breaking news from NPR, and information on your favorite programs. Get links to Facebook and Twitter while you listen to our live broadcast online, or download mobile apps from NPR and take 90.3 FM with you everywhere. Connect with your community and Moorhead State Public Radio. Visit WMKY.org.
Welcome back to the Front Page. We're joined by Rowan County Judge Executive Walter Blevins. I'm Chuck Meraz, and Judge Blevins, I know you and I have also discussed another issue that is going to have to be dealt with legislatively, funding for E911 services. Right now, that's all based on a tax that comes off of landline phones. Many people are now ditching their landline phones for cell phones, and thus you have the funding for local E911 one service is dwindling.
Yeah, that we have a local group here, Ray White and Daryl, other magistrate Daryl
Lover,
excuse me. They serve on that committee, and there's some concern about that because their revenues keep dwindling. There has been a constitutional, well, actually, the Supreme Court ruling on two cases that allows 911 groups to put a tax on, I think, on utilities, or they can also put a tax on property taxes. So that does free up them an opportunity to, if they have to have those dollars, and in the future they're going to have them if we're going to upgrade E911. You have to upgrade those, it seems like, about every 5 to 10 years. And you have to go in and buy new equipment, and it's a pretty expensive proposition. So, but there are two other opportunities for those groups to look at raising that revenue.
Yeah, I know that it would seem at this point that with landline service dwindling in many homes, that sake of fairness, you've got all the landline owners basically funding the E911 local service. Cell phone owners really need to chip in.
Well, they've tried to put a tax on cell services, and they can't seem to get it passed in Frankfurt. And to me, that, I mean, if you're have a cell phone, you're going to use 911. It's what you're going to dial, and so they get the benefit of it, but they're not paying enough to maintain it. So to me, I think, again, that would probably be the best way to do it. That way people that can at least afford a cell phone would wind up paying it, rather than putting it on somebody's property tax, which is a lot of these people are on fixed incomes, and you're hitting them with a tax that makes it very difficult for them to pay. And also putting on utilities, especially during this time of the year when utility bills are extremely high, to add another tax to that, I think is pretty tough. So I'm hoping that the people in Frankfurt will pass a tax proposal that allow cell phones to pay a little more, and because everybody's got, there's probably more phones today than there ever have been, but most of them are right now are cell phones and not being taxed at a proper level.
I know there's an effort by a group to raise money privately for the old jail building that's downtown on the Art Center campus, along with the Rowan Veterans Museum that's also nearby, to kind of get those buildings refurbished. And any news there?
I haven't seen their final amount of fundraising. I know that I put a grant in for about, I think it's about a $10,000 grant to help get some revenue to help us maybe clean those buildings and put a paved parking lot in between them, maybe some landscaping. An ARC grant, you can apply for them, and I think we got a good shot of maybe getting them. I'll hopefully have an answer on that probably in the next couple of months. But that's one way we're looking to do something for those two buildings, at least try to clean them up and try to make them look a little better and a little more presentable.
How much money are you seeking?
It's about $10,000, and if we can get that $10,000, we can use we have to match part of that with in-kind dollars, and we can use, our people can do the paving, our people can do some of the landscaping, some of the cleaning. I started to do some of the cleaning early when we had pretty weather, but I didn't want to do that, and then it might hurt our opportunity to get the grant.
Has there ever been an estimate put together as to how much it will cost to do all the work that people want to do with these two buildings?
No, I don't think we have that yet. Of course, it's kind of been taken out of my hands, and it's been handed over to the Arts Council. The Arts Council has a tough time raising money right now for maintaining what they have, and if we didn't subsidize the utility bills for the Arts Center, they'd probably have to close the door. So it's tough to go out here and raise money for those kinds of things, but I appreciate what they're going to try to do, and maybe the economy will get better and people will be willing to help.
I had a chance to talk with City Councilman Tom Carew here the other day, and we were talking about funding for recreation. And he said as part of that, he said there have been, and this gets back to the taxation system here locally, because we have city taxes in Moorhead. City residents also pay county taxes. People out in the county just pay the county tax. He said one good thing about having, say, a unified city-county government, you would have just one taxation system. And he said there have been some discussions about this, and I guess you're about to meet again with city council?
I think we meet in February. I think it's the 22nd, if I'm not I'd have to look on my calendar and make sure, but I know we're going to meet prior to our budgets and try to have a chance to talk with each other and try to air out any kind of differences we have. That is something we can look at. I've not heard a lot of people really – rooting to do that, because I think that probably the planning and zoning concerns a lot of people in the county. That's a tough issue. It's one I think we need to address. I think I'd like to make sure that we can maintain some of the beauty of the community, and also maintain when people come through, especially around 801 and coming into the lake and our tourism area, to make sure that we can maintain that and not turn into a bunch of eyesores or a hog farm. So there's a lot of things I'd like to see done on that, but again, we've not really pursued it right now. And if we went with a unified form of government, you know, you would have to have planning and zoning probably throughout the county, and that's one way to get it. But that's probably pretty far down the road. I think our initial talks, we were talking this wouldn't happen until maybe most of our terms or most of us were down the road, and somebody else could deal with the issue.
Would there be some other problems to solve as well besides this planning and zoning?
Well, I mean, right now, you know, we're subsidizing the volunteer fire departments. We have very good volunteer fire departments. I have to compliment those people for what they do, and they get out here and try to raise money themselves, and I attend most of their fish fries and events, and try to help them, because we do try to help them in, with our county budget. But again, the city would have to come up and try to help raise money for that as well. Again, you would have less representation. There'd be fewer people. Of course, the city council, I don't think they make very much money from their service. Our magistrates make very little for their service. So you'd have less people to go to and ask for. So I think there's some question whether you'd have better democracy or not. No other community in Kentucky, except for our two largest metropolitan areas, Lexington and Louisville, have the unified form of government. And I'm not so sure why, if it's such a good thing, why other counties haven't jumped into it.
Yeah, I'll ask you then, do you think that perhaps with Morehead and Rowan County being more rural, that perhaps the area is too small to have a city-county government?
I think it could be a factor, because, again, I think a lot of people, it probably put it to a vote of the people, and I think there's a lot of people don't want to see the change.
So you feel like also, and you mentioned this, that perhaps local representatives, whether it be the fiscal court, the city council, or whoever, they'd be less accessible if you had this form of government.
Well, you have less of them, and they'd have more area to cover, and it would be less accessible, my feeling they would be.
Yeah, I mean, it's been talked about before, but it never really has seemed to hit what I would call a serious stage.
I don't think it'll happen for the next few years, unless maybe the economy changes and we see a lot of prosperity in this community, maybe, and we see a lot of growth, then maybe it's something we need to look at.
So, say you at the meeting this week, you heard from John Kazmierski from the U.S. Forest Service. I was going to ask you maybe to discuss what was talked about there.
His concern is that a lot of the roads that they maintain are basically they're going to quit maintaining them because they don't have a need for them. Probably one of the most important ones that I heard at the meeting, we didn't get a chance to really get into it. We kind of had a little brief presentation. He gave us a booklet to let us look at it. Probably Lakeji, the road up to Lakeji is one of their roads. It's a Forest Service road. It's not a county highway, it's pretty rough, especially if it's been used during winter time or times, especially when it's the ground is wet and moist, and if you take certain vehicles up there, you're going to create ruts and make it difficult to get up to the area. They are looking at maybe closing that road just during times of high rain or when the snow is melting or that type of thing so that they could maintain the integrity of the road. That's something that I think a lot of people are going to be concerned about. We're going to need more discussion about that road. To me, Lakeji, I've been up there years ago when I used to climb a little better, and it's a beautiful area. A lot of people do go up there and hike around and climb those cliffs to get up there for the view. And I think anytime you try to close that road, you're going to see a lot of the public out here upset about it. So maybe it's something we can work out. Maybe closing the road just during those times may not be such a difficult issue, but we need more discussion about it. And he's a very bright man. He lives here in the community. I'm glad to see him, just as Dave Manor lived in Morehead. Jonathan and his wife live here, and they're very happy living here. Seem to be very content, and I think he'll be easy to work with.
I know money's tight for the county right now, but is it conceivable perhaps the county would take both roads in?
I think with the cuts we're seeing already, it'd be tough to take anything in. People are going to say, well, you know, you're taking another road here, and you're not even taking care of my road. So That's pretty tough. I don't know if we, unless the economy gets better and our tax rates, if we bring more jobs in the community and we'll have more money to operate with, maybe it's something we look at. But at present time, it'd be very tough for us to do that.
All right, Judge, as always, thanks so much.
My pleasure. Have a good day and good luck to the Eagles tomorrow.
Round County Judge Executive Walter Blevins on Front Page. I'm your host, Chuck Moraz. We'll see you next time.